WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. More than 6,000 probationary IRS workers could be laid off as soon as today. And says ABC's Rachel Scott, that's not the only place preparing for thousands of fewer workers.
At the Pentagon, sources tell ABC News Secretary Pete Hegseth is preparing to fire or remove a series of top generals and senior officials. A list of their names already circulating among Republicans on Capitol Hill. The big question doesn't include the chairman of the Joint Chiefs, C.Q. Brown. Hegseth once said Brown had to go. The Pentagon now moving forward with an 8% cut, roughly $50 billion, that the agency says will be redirected toward other defense priorities.
ABC's Rachel Scott. The bodies of four Israeli hostages handed over today to Israel. Hamas says it will release six living hostages this weekend. Another day of frigid weather across much of the country, and then things will thaw out. 24 below wind chill in Kansas City this morning, could be close to 60 on Monday. This is ABC News.
I'm James Kelly with WBZH News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WBZH website at buzzofthenorth.com. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. Both candidates for the upcoming Wisconsin Supreme Court election say they will not pledge to recuse themselves from cases involving the political parties backing their campaigns. Both state parties have donated millions to their preferred candidate in what will likely be the most expensive Supreme Court campaign in history. Supreme Court candidates are not required by law to recuse themselves from cases involving a political party, and the decision to recuse is typically left up to the justices. Both claim they will not prejudge cases. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources is inviting residents to participate in this year's Wisconsin Conservation Congress annual spring hearing process. The hearing process gives residents the opportunity to make suggestions to state officials by introducing a local resolution. Residents will be allowed to submit two resolutions per year, and they must be of statewide impact, be practical and achievable, and align with the mission of the Wisconsin Conservation Congress. Submissions will be accepted through February 24th. Wisconsin wildlife officials say they're recommending that a record number of tags be issued for the 2025 elk hunting season. According to the Department of Natural Resources, the elk population reached a record high of 554 last year. Due to the increased population, the DNR is recommending a quota of 8 bulls in the northern herd, as well as 4 bulls and 5 antlerless elk in the central herd. The Natural Resources Board will vote on the proposal on February 26th. The elk season will open on October 18th. A Burnett County man is facing drug trafficking charges following a narcotics investigation. According to court documents, 63-year-old Michael Den of Grantsburg is facing multiple charges, including delivery and possession with intent to distribute methamphetamine and maintaining a drug trafficking place. Authorities say they recovered significant quantities of drugs while executing a search warrant at his property. Den had previously been convicted of attempting to flee and disarm an officer during a 2018 incident. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
The Bucks are back in action. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Milwaukee Bucks are back from the All-Star break tonight when they host the LA Clippers at Fiserv Forum. Giannis Antetokounmpo listed as questionable after missing the last six games with a calf muscle injury.
I'm okay. Am I 100%? I don't know. We'll see. But I was able to go through practice. It felt good. But we'll see. We'll see tomorrow if I'm 100%. I don't know yet.
Damian Lillard, also questionable. Doc Rivers after yesterday's practice.
We went hard, but not that hard. And so we'll see with him and Dame. We don't know yet.
College football, the Wisconsin Badgers head coach Luke Fickell receiving a one-year extension on his contract with the university. Fickell's deal now runs through March of 2032. He'll earn an extra $100,000, bringing his total to $7.7 million this year. The Badgers were 5-7 last season and missed playing in a bowl game for the first time in 22 years. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Hi, meteorologist Brandon Bormans. The coldest air of the week is finally behind us. Partly sunny today with highs in the lower 20s. Partly cloudy tonight. It will be cold, just not as frigid as recent nights with lows near 5 below. Partly sunny on Friday with highs again in the lower 20s. Currently, it's 8 degrees.
Imagine home. The smell of coffee, the sound of a lawnmower, the sun's warmth on your face. Free to be yourself, surrounded by love that helps you grow. This is a place to call home. That's an American dream we all deserve. But in 50% of U.S. states, you could legally be denied housing if you are LGBTQ+. Get the facts and hear real stories at lovehasnolabels.com. Brought to you by Love Has No Labels and the Ad Council.
It might be cold outside, but we're back on the road to find out what makes Wisconsin great, including the American Burr Combiner.
Road trip!
It's the best ski race in the world. I'm Todd Alba. I'm taking you to the Burr Combiner and what it means for the state.
Normally, we're about 2,600 people during Berkey Week. That gets up to 20,000, 30,000.
Join us from Hayward, Wisconsin.
A special Todd Alba show Thursday and Friday.
At noon on your local Civic Media radio station and the app. Rational Revolution with Mark Becker.
Joining the revolution this week, we've got WISDEM's chairman, Ben Wickler. Be sure to tune in.
Rational Revolution with Mark Becker, Saturdays at 2, Sundays at 1 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Matinee on Air.
You can join us at 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. And boy, if you don't know it, you are in for a treat. On the line, my good friend and professor of, let me do this, Professor Harvey, because I always forget that you are without question a top tier historian. And so, African history, American history. What are some of the other disciplines, Professor Harvey, that you are trained in?
Well, basically, it's American history and African American history. Those are the two major areas of historiography that I've been trained in, and I've taught for years. So, those are the two major areas.
So,
but I've, you know, spent a lot of time in studying military history, especially focusing on World War II, from World War II up to the present, and political history. And I've, you know, spent a lot of time studying and teaching constitutional history. So those are the areas.
The different universities you've taught in.
Well, I started off teaching at North Carolina Central University, a historical black college in Durham. That's my alma mater, where I got both my bachelor's and master's degree in American historiography from North Carolina Central. And I taught there for seven years. And then I left there and got invited to go up to UW La Crosse and teach in the Minority Studies Institute for 2 years, and then I left there and engaged in the postgraduate program at the University of Wisconsin at Madison, and I studied there for 2 years, focusing on American history, and then I got moved to Milwaukee, Wisconsin, where I joined the Army Reserves, and I was there for 12 years. But I also taught at UW-Milwaukee Department of Africology as a part-time for 4 years. And then I got accepted to teach at Milwaukee Area Technical College in the history department, and I taught there for 9 years full time. So, and that's where I retired in 2013.
So, Professor Harvey, needless to say, you know your way around a history book. Let me, because it's Black History Month in this country, and I have over the years had you talk to the audiences that I've been fortunate to have been in front of over these airwaves. You know, I just, you know, got to have Professor Harvey. Professor Harvey, want to kind of focus today on, you know, the truth of Blacks arriving in this nation. And so, you know, America's history of slavery began long before Jamestown. The arrival of the first captives to the Jamestown colony in 1619 is often seen as the beginning of slavery in America. But enslaved Africans arrived in North America as early as the 1500s. Professor Harvey, how can people get it so wrong?
Well, it's not so much so wrong as it is a sense of history that's been created around Anglican history, that is English history. And, you know, the perception that we have in this country, not that it's a fact, but the perception that we have in this country is that it all started with, you know, the English colonies. But you got to realize that in what is present day, the United States of America, we're talking there about geographic United States of America. The first European country to settle in North America, what is present in the United States, was not England, it was Spain. And we must also realize that when you read the historical works of someone like Lerone Bennett, who wrote Before the Mayflower, what he was saying in the title of his book is that long before the Mayflower, long before 1619 or 1620, 1622, long before that, in the latter part of the 16th century or the middle part of the 16th century, Europeans brought slaves over under control of the Spanish. You see, the Spanish were the first ones to settle North America. The English and the French and the Dutch and other European ethnic groups and nationalities, they come later. But it's the Portuguese in the latter part of the 15th century, which are the 1400s, and Spanish. They are the ones who bring slaves over first. And with the help of the conquistadors and with the help of the Catholic Church, in the late 15th century, which are the 1400s, and in the middle part of the 16th century, which are the 1500s, they started establishing colonies over here. And it's the Spanish that settled in North America first, in the southern part, exploring as far west as what is present-day Arizona. So, but see, because our history is largely Anglican-orientated, we leave that part out. And we are missing a major part of history when we do that. Because the whole issue of claiming your European heritage, if you have African blood in you, and it states pretty much the laws that are accepted even today, is that if you have any African blood in you at all, and it can be traced, you can't claim your European heritage. That did not come from the English or the Irish or the Scots or the Germans or the French, that or the Dutch. That came from the Spanish culture. That's where you get the word mulatto and all these other concepts, asturón, all these other color stratifications. That started with the Spanish and with the Portuguese. And remember something, and this is something that a lot of people forget. Even George Bush had to be reminded of when he was president, and Condoleezza Rice fortunately was in the room and had to correct it, that the largest concentration of black folk in the Western Hemisphere, the largest concentration is in Brazil, not in the United States. The United States has about 40 million. That includes Africans, people from directly from the continent, and the African Americans, the people who were descendants of slaves over the last 300 to 400 years. But the largest population of black folk are in Brazil of Afrocentric origin. So that is a part of history that's oftentimes overlooked and lost. And unless you actually take African American history, you miss that point. And that's one of the reasons why in my years of teaching African American history, the wide-eyed enthusiasm of students of all colors and all races is excited tenfold when they learn that fact.
So Professor Harvey, why is that fact relevant?
It's relevant because it says that in building the North, the Northern, and the Southern parts of the Western Hemisphere, which is North America and South America, African people played a significant role in helping to colonize and develop these regions long before we came over as indentured servants. Remember, some of the first Afrocentric people to arrive in the English colonies, they were listed as indentured servants. It's only after 1660 that we began to see the separation of white indentured servants, you know, along with, you know, black indentured servants. You see that separation, and blacks start becoming slaves for life.
So, Professor Harvey, what's the difference between an indentured servant and a slave?
Indentured servants were those who had contracts, you know, to serve for a period of up to 7 years. Sometimes it was a little longer, but the average time period was 7 years. And then after that 7 years, they would work, you know, as property, but then they would get their freedom. And what you started seeing in the colonies was that that created a problem, because sometimes when you had a rebellion, you had both blacks and white indentured servants rebelling together. But by 1660, it was discovered that it would be better to just go with the Africans to make them slaves for life, durante vita, slaves for life, for the duration. And one of the reasons why is because the African indentured servant did not have a nation to protect them.
So, Professor Harvey, I got to get you to hang on. Man, you know, the depth of your knowledge and the way you explained it is so easy for us to understand, because I got a million questions. Our phone lines are open at 855-752-4842. Look, on the line, just one of the you know, top historians that I've ever met in my lifetime, my good friend, Professor Bob Harvey. And you, 855-752-4842. We're going to drill down deeper on the Earl Ingram Show. But I'm not the only
one. You're listening to The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Every story matters, and the Civic Media Radio Network is celebrating Black History Month by honoring the powerful stories of Wisconsin's own trailblazers. Meet Reggie Jackson, the Milwaukee historian and teacher, travels the state sharing Black history while challenging what you think you already know.
Invited to all these communities around the state. These people don't know much about the African American experience, and so they asked me to come and share some of that with them. To talk about things related to African-American history, race and racism, things of that nature. I've been to over 50 communities around the state of Wisconsin. People like the message that I send. They think it's credible information. It's been one of the greatest joys in my life, and it's been a great journey. And I've appreciated all of those folks that I work with in all those different communities engaging in conversations about really important things to them.
Listen for more inspiring stories all month long. I'm Terry Barr.
Reviewing the week's legal news with a friend of the court.
Well, I'm looking forward to Saturday morning. I haven't missed one. Outstanding. Just like being in school.
It has been a week in the areas of law and government and the aspiration for justice in America. As always, I am delighted. I am honored that you have chosen to spend some of your weekend time with me in discussion.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11.
Carmelo Anthony for the Bail Project.
Bad news, you've been arrested. Good news, you're innocent until proven guilty. If you can pay your bail, good news, you go home to wait your trial. If you can't, sorry, you go to jail to wait. But sure, you still presumed innocent. But since you can't afford bail, you've lost your freedom. That's not right. And that's why the Bail Project helps those who can't afford it while fighting the in-cash bail. Because freedom should be free.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Text us at that same number. My guest is the brilliant Professor Bob Harvey, all the way from sunny Charlotte, North Carolina. You know, Professor Harvey, I remember distinctly hearing Dr. King talking about the fact that we were here long before Europeans set foot on this land. We were here. But I was never able to make the connection, how and why, and how we got here, but clearly,
well,
that,
I remember one thing. Now, the important thing to remember is that the Portuguese and the Spanish are European. You know, and that's the thing that people have to realize. You know, they were the European countries. In fact, they were the oldest Catholic nations. Remember that between the period of the 1100s up through about 1300, Spain and Portugal were formed as nation states. And the main institution that helped them become nations were the Catholic Church. Remember, the Catholic Church was born out of the death and destruction of the Roman Empire. So the Catholic Church helped to set the table for the institution of slavery. And it was not just, you know, African slaves. Like I said, Europeans were slaves too. But certainly by the 14th century, 15th century, to be honest with you, which is the 1400s, Spain and Portugal in the Iberian Peninsula, that's where they're located. They had established a nation state, and they began to explore. And they're explorers, like Amerigo Vespucci, Christopher Columbus, and so many others, along with conquistadors, began to explore the new world. And they came into contact with North and South America. And that's why today, of the 13 countries that are in South America, 12 of them are Spanish, and the other is Portuguese, the largest country in South America is Brazil. Brazil is a Portuguese colony. That's where you have the largest concentration of African people.
So were they enslaved? Were they enslaved in Brazil?
Some of them were, but you got to remember, there's a very fascinating history, and I always taught it in my African-American and my American history classes, you know, especially the period prior to the 20th century. The amazing thing about the Spanish and the Portuguese was that they both, you know, had slavery, but they also had black populations that were conquistadors. They were Catholic, and some of them were free men. Remember that the Spanish and the Portuguese, when they got over here, the Native Americans were already here on those islands, out in the Atlantic and in the Caribbean area, and the Native American populations were also, you know, on the main continent. The Aztec and the Maya, remember, they battled, especially the Aztec, battled the Spanish under Cortez and others, you know, for nearly 50 to 60 years before they were finally wiped out. But a lot of those peoples that lived in those islands in the Caribbean, they died off. And once they died off, the Spanish brought in African slaves to work on those sugar plantations, the coffee plantations or whatever, and the native populations pretty much died out because they were trapped on those islands. The European explorers, starting with the Spanish and the Portuguese, decimated those populations of original people, indigenous people, in South America, and had ran some of the similar problems in North America. But one of the amazing things that I learned about the African presence in the southern part of the United States, what is now the modern-day state of Florida, was when I studied Herbert Aftecker's American Negro Slave Revolts back in the 1960s as a junior at North Carolina Central, and studying history and reading that book. And to my amazement, in 1526, in what is now the northern part of Florida, but it also the southern part of Georgia and South Carolina, there were blacks in those regions that got with an Indian population and rebelled against the Spanish. So blacks as slaves or as indentured servants or just as free men and as explorers, all of them, those people are part of American history. And I'm talking, when I say American history, remember one thing, and I always taught this from this perspective. Everyone who lives in the Western Hemisphere is an American. It's only the arrogance of the people in the United States that we call ourselves the Americans. Now, we are Americans. If you live in Argentina, Paraguay, Peru,
it was called the Americas. The Americas.
We are Americans. All of us are. But like I said, our arrogance, which, and if you show me an arrogant person, I'll show you an ignorant one every time. And I always look from that perspective. Show me an arrogant person, and I'll show you an ignorant one every time.
At Professor Harvey. Professor Harvey. I hate to have to take a hiatus with you because there's so much to learn. 855-752-4842. The one and only Professor Bob Harvey has graced our airways once again. You can join us. 855-752-4842. If you have any questions or comments, now's the time on the Earl Ingram Show.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. Wisconsin emergency officials are sharing flood preparation tips with residents ahead of Flood Safety Awareness Week. Governor Tony Evers declared next week as Flood Safety Awareness Week, hoping to remind residents to evaluate their properties and have a plan for unexpected flooding. Residents should stay informed of weather conditions, keep valuables out of their basements, and clean their gutters regularly to limit flood damage or avoid it entirely. They should also create an emergency plan ahead of time and consider purchasing flood insurance. A number of Democratic state lawmakers say they're working on legislation to stop federal authorities from arresting immigrants at places like churches, hospitals, and schools. The locations had previously been considered protected, but Trump administration officials now say they are not off-limits for immigration operations. State Democrats are seeking to designate the locations as safe havens, saying members of the immigrant community should be able to attend school, religious services, or seek medical care without the fear of arrest. The Barron County Sheriff's Department has a lot of new surveillance cameras in the form of residents voluntarily registering their own cameras. Over the summer, the Sheriff's Department asked residents to register their cameras online. The registration allows law enforcement authorities to quickly identify potential surveillance footage during an investigation. Since the request went out in August, 55 cameras have been registered through the program. Any resident interested in registering their cameras can do so on cityprotect.com. City of Ashland officials are looking for solutions with about 40 vacant homes in the area. Officials say a number of the houses have been vacant for years as owners struggle to sell them, with some ending up in a state of disrepair after long-term neglect. One suggestion would involve the city charging a $200 per year fee for vacant properties in an effort to encourage the property owners to put the homes on the market. City officials are also looking at ways to encourage those owners to use the vacant homes as rental properties. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. The third season of White Lotus has dropped on Max, and the HBO show has created some controversy thanks to nitpicky social media followers always looking for something to overanalyze. Every season has a new cast, location, and theme music. Season 2's theme music was so popular, it played in nightclubs across Europe. Season 3's theme music has not been well received. Great thing to stress over in this day and age. If you haven't seen White Lotus yet, give it a chance. Saturday Night Live kicks off a new 50 years in March. March hosts will include comedian Shane Gillis and Lady Gaga. Neither are strangers to the SNL stage. Gillis will host the show for the second time on March 1st. The musical act will be Tate McRae. Gaga will wear hosting and musical hats as she covers both roles on March 8th. Gaga has hosted the show before and performed as the musical guest 4 times previously. Wonder if they'll be invited to the 100th. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Hi, meteorologist Brandon Bormans. The coldest air of the week is finally behind us. Partly sunny today with highs in the lower 20s. Partly cloudy tonight. It will be cold, just not as frigid as recent nights with lows near 5 below. Partly sunny on Friday with highs again in the lower 20s. Currently, it's 8 degrees.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Marquette University professor and pollster extraordinaire Charles Franklin.
Deporting immigrants who are in the U.S. illegally. 60% support that. But when we ask the same question and just add at the end, including those with jobs and no criminal record, then support drops to just 43%.
Wisconsinites have a sense of fairness.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Dom Selvia.
Next time, former U.S. Attorney James Santel will explain to me the difference between an absolute monarchy and a constitutional republic. Which one is by and for the people? Tune in.
The Dom Selvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
Da 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 da
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. The one and only Professor Bob Harvey, all the way from sunny South Carolina, Charlotte, North Carolina, is on the line. And you know, Professor Harvey, I would have loved to have been in your class. You know, I think one of the things that people need to understand is you taught a lot of white students as well. Is it safe to say that?
Oh, yeah, all types of students. I mean, in lacrosse, it was amazing because I left North Carolina Central in 1978, and I was invited to come up to, as a visiting lecturer up to UW Lacrosse, is teaching the Minority Studies Institute. And in North Carolina Central, I went from teaching 99% black students in my classrooms to teaching, if you want to lacrosse, and teaching 99% white students. And in both cases, the classrooms were packed. You know, because the thing is, history has to be taught in such a way that it's relevant to the past, but it also has to be relevant to the present. History has to live in the minds of the students, and they have to see themselves in the history book. It's not just enough to talk about the history events and individuals in the past, because once you look at a book, it's already the past. That's why it's a book,
right?
You know, so I always taught my students that history has to come alive and they have to be a part of it. They have to see themselves on that slave ship. They have to see themselves as colonists that came here for the first time. And they have to also learn that many of the original ancestors that came from Europe to the New World were fleeing and running away from something. Many of the religious folk had to flee their country because, especially if they were Protestant, because a lot of the, except for England, a lot of Western Europe was under the domination of the Catholic Church. And if you were not a Catholic, then you were listed as a heretic. So many of those individuals that were influenced by people like John Calvin and Martin Luther and others had to flee to come to the New World to have religious freedom. That's why religious freedom is one of the first items built into the first amendment to the Constitution, freedom of religion. It came from that concept that these people were listed as heretics and everything else, and they had to flee Europe to come into for a New World. And they got here, and they found a Native American population where they couldn't bother them too much. But they also realized that if they brought slaves, then they could have them to work for nothing or to work for at least for their freedom. And that's where the indentured servitude came in.
So,
the Europeans came over as indentured servants.
So, Professor Hart,
earlier ones that came over.
We've got a text message, and then we're going to go to the phone lines. Catholic Church, this is according to Mark. Catholic Church has a long history of opposing slavery, with condemnations dating back centuries before the modern abolition movement. Anti-Catholic bigots have tried this canard for centuries.
But the Catholic Church, both the Portuguese and the Spanish, were dominated by the Catholic Church. And it was Pope Alexander VI and others who pretty much went ahead and sanctioned the institution of slavery. Remember, many of those Spanish exploring ships that came over to settle in the New World came with an army. Those were the conquistadors. And they came with popes, with religious individuals whose main job it was to convert the so-called heathens. They figured that these people were heathens. They were not Christians. They had to be converted. That's why you find all those churches being built in these missions. And they got over here and realized that not only were the people dying off because of forced labor, but they were dying off because they were exposed to European diseases that just wiped them out. Remember, in the 14th and the 13th, 14th, and 15th centuries, Europe, from the Mediterranean region all the way up, you know, to the lands of Denmark, Belgium, and also the Dutch, they were heavily impacted. Of course, England as well as an island, they were heavily inundated with plagues. The Black Plague wiped out almost a third of the European population during that time in the 13th, 14th, and 15th centuries. So though those people had adjusted to it biologically, by the time they got to the New World, they were bringing a lot of diseases with them.
So,
also measles and other diseases.
So, Professor Harvey, I'm sorry, go ahead.
They largely decimated the Native American population. Think about it biologically. These people were surrounded by two major oceans, the Atlantic and the Pacific. There were people who lived in these regions, and they didn't have a lot of the diseases that they had in Europe, and for that matter, in Africa, because Africans also brought some diseases over here.
So
the Europeans.
So, Professor Harvey, we got a lot of phone calls, people who want to have a conversation with you. Can we take a few calls?
Yes, go ahead.
All right, let's go to Vincent. Good morning to you, Vincent. How you doing, sir?
Doing well, Earl. Doing well, Earl.
Hey, man, it's good to hear your voice, man. Been a while.
Man,
been a while.
Yeah, you got to stop changing your phone number, man.
No, man. Hey, man, we've been here a while. But you've heard the great Professor Harvey in the past?
Yes, I have. Yes, I have for years. And he is a treasure to our community. The fact is, I was going to say that even after Black History Month, he needs to be a staple on.
Yeah,
show.
I will bring him back. I will definitely bring Professor Harvey back. No question. Go ahead.
Because the fact is that with this new administration, African American history is under assault. The fact is, when you talk about Google talking about they're not going to celebrate African American history and other platforms like that. The fact is that companies are slowly but surely getting rid of DEI programs and programs that really helped African Americans in this country, and the history being torn apart as far as black folks in this country. He's a treasure at this point.
Yeah,
in
he is.
So my point is to Professor Harvey, how important is it for us to fight back not only for Black History Month, but throughout the year to try to keep this history going, because the fact is, it's definitely under assault. That's my question.
Hey, Vincent, thank you very much for the call, man. And call a little more. You got to listen in order, you know, more. But thank you. Professor Harvey? Professor Harvey?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, look, Earl, important, keep in mind one thing, Laverne and I, we've been monitoring, you know, a lot of these situations that have come out. Now, she stays more actively involved with it than I do these days. But remember one thing, Earl, African-American history is not going anywhere. They can do all of the destruction of woke programs and DEI programs all they want. It is not going anywhere. The history is there. And not only that, but there are many students. The most exciting students that I taught were white students. They were learning this history for the first time. So, you know, the only thing necessary for evil to triumph is for good men to do nothing. And there are enough decent people out there who are going to want to know the true history. I don't knock, you know, the programs like the special program right now that's dealing with the 1619 project. I think it's a laudable project. But when you go back and start digging into history, you find out that long before the Mayflower, Lerone Bennett got it right, long before the Mayflower, blacks were already here.
Right.
And if you study that carefully, it's going to take you back even further, because then you start getting into Egyptology. I saw an interesting program the other night on television, and they were talking about the early man. And this one scholar, one white scholar from South Africa, was saying that the original Egyptians were descendants of the Nubian people that were in the southern, in the northern part of the Sudan. And living parts of, some of them were living in the southern parts of Egypt. The ones you see on television right now talking about the pyramids, they're not the original Egyptians. The ones who built the pyramids, and he said one of the giveaways was studying the mummies and finding the high concentration and content of melanin. Melanin, the more melanin you have in your body, the darker your skin color is. So he said that that in itself was a giveaway. And even that form of history has been robbed, because Egypt, in all my years of studying history, Egypt is the only civilization that you know of consistently where their history has been robbed, and they try to take Egypt out of Africa. Because they don't want you to know that the most storied civilization in world history is an African civilization. It's Egypt. And some scholars, some black scholars have said that Egypt is the daughter of Ethiopia. And if you talk to a lot of Ethiopians and friends that I've had that are Ethiopians, they will tell you the magnificent history that Ethiopia, influence that Ethiopia had over ancient.
So, Professor Harvey.
I mean, there are some fascinating stories there.
So, Professor Harvey, I'm going to take Vincent up on what he said and certainly bring you back many more times as we used to. Let's go to Tom from L.A. Hey, Tom, go ahead.
Good morning. I agree with Vincent. The words that come to my mind are American treasure. And that's what Dr. Harvey is, Professor Harvey is, every time he's on your show. What I'd like to do also is recommend the civic media to actually have it where Professor Harvey teaches a class on civic media on the weekend or something about this stuff.
That's not a bad idea, Tom. You know, we can talk to Professor Harvey, and you know, Professor Harvey, as you stated and as Vincent stated, is a treasure, and Professor Harvey's recall in history. Is he doesn't even have to give it a thought. It's in his spirit. It's in the essence of who he is, and he is exactly that. It's a great idea, Tom. We'll certainly explore it. Guys, hang on the phone lines. Professor Harvey, man, I deserve a beating for it being so long before I got you back on. 855-752-4842. The one and only Professor Bob Harvey has graced the airlines with us once again on the Earl Ingram Show.
No chance to increase finance. Bills pile up, sky high. Send that boy off to die. Oh, make me wanna holler the way they do my life. Yeah, make me wanna holler the way they do my life.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Up North News Radio.
Looking for the perfect card or gift? Visit Lori's Card and Gift, Hayward's only Hallmark Gold Crown store in the heart of downtown on Dakota Avenue. More than just a card store, they have every occasion covered. Birthday, anniversary, sympathy, and holiday cards, plus heartfelt gifts like women's jewelry, sweets, potted succulents, and more. Find party supplies, home decor, baby gifts, novelty socks, mugs, and unique treasures. Celebrate life's moments with Lori's Card and Gift, where memories are made in downtown Hayward, Wisconsin.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. A federal judge sentenced former New Jersey U.S. Senator Bob Menendez January 29th to 11 years in prison for corruption charges and acting as a foreign agent. Menendez, a Democrat, was contrite in the courtroom but blasted the process as political and corrupted to the core in a not-so-subtle appeal to President Donald Trump. Menendez was convicted July 16th on all federal charges of conspiracy, bribery, extortion, wire fraud, obstruction, and acting as a foreign agent in schemes involving an Egyptian-American businessman and a New Jersey developer. In exchange for cash, a Mercedes convertible, and gold bars, Menendez used his influence as chair of the U.S. Senate Foreign Relations Committee to procure exclusive import of halal processed meat products into Egypt. The New Jersey Monitor reports that Menendez then signed off on billions in U.S. military aid to the government of Egypt, despite the country's deteriorating human rights record. But times have changed. February 11th, the U.S. Justice Department ordered the Southern District of New York to drop bribery and corruption charges against New York City Mayor Eric Adams. He was accused of taking illegal campaign donations from foreign nationals and doing favors in exchange for luxury travel. The apparent quid pro quo with the Trump administration prompted six SDNY attorneys to resign in protest. We've linked to more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
All right, welcome back to what I can't believe is the last few minutes of the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. I just want to say to you in the listening audience that Professor Harvey is not just this eloquent and thorough on Black history, American history, military history, all of it. His recall is unmatched. And so, yeah, I think it's a great idea that we do what we can to get his voice throughout civic media. We'll have a conversation. Hey, Brendan, what's going on? You have a question or comment for Professor Harvey?
No, I just wanted to say what a fresh breeze it is to hear a man speak so eloquently and so knowledgeably about the history of our country, be it Black, white, or otherwise. That was it. I mean, I learned a lot, and it's good to turn on the program and learn and be able to open your ears and listen and hear the truth.
Hey, Brendan, thank you very much for the call. You know, Professor Harvey, you and I have done this for many, many years, and I always, when you're on, am amazed at the depth of your knowledge and your recall. You know, you challenge, you know, and you challenge those other historians, Professor Harvey, who sometimes maybe they just omit things intentionally, or is it that they don't know?
Well, I think it's, you know, history is a broad field and covers many, many different facets. And if you show me two historians in the same room, they're both going to look at it from a different perspective. There's just so many different ways to see it. You know, I always taught, you know, history that was inclusive, and that's sort of amazing when you look at that DEI crap that they put out there to divide folks. History has to be inclusive, and you have to let people understand what's going on, because I guarantee you, if you take a person that was a Trumpster from Arkansas and you get one from New York, they're going to see some things differently, because that many of those Southerners are still fighting the Civil War. And as far as they're concerned, the Yankees be damned forever. You know, so if you were from the North, you were a damn Yankee. And they're going to see history a certain way. I mean, I'm a Southerner, too. But I see history differently than maybe a white person would, because, you know, I saw the Civil War as a chance to enslave African Americans, whereas he saw it as a way to preserve his culture. And what we're finding out is that there are ways that people can preserve their culture, but that culture can only be preserved when it's based on honesty and accuracy of what the facts are, and to deal with it from there. And if you don't, then you're going to be missing an important part of history. You can't be afraid to learn new things and to learn it from people that are different. So all these anti-woke and anti, you know, DEI movements that were put out there to plant the seed to get a couple of million people to vote for Donald Trump, they're going to fail, because the world knows now. And thank God for all those black and white scholars, you know, like the Carter G. Woodsons and the John Hope Franklins, but also the C. Van Woodwards and other white historians who taught us another way of looking at American history, and to see, and Herbert Aptheker as well, taught us how to see American history through a different lens, so that it can just make us a better people. History is an excellent teaching tool if we allow it to be taught to be inclusive. You can't exclude people or demean people and try to add them to history. Because remember that when we start talking about slavery, the perception that we have in the United States is that if you're going to have a final blame game, we blame the English. When in fact it was not the English that started it. This was something that was started by the Spanish and the French. I mean, the Spanish and the Portuguese. And the church had a major role to play in it. Yes, the Catholic Church, once it woke up to it, by the end of the 16th to 17th century, the Spanish were pretty much moved out of the game. Then they stepped in and stopped it. Remember, Queen Elizabeth, when she was Queen of England, in the latter part of the 16th century, Queen Elizabeth at first was opposed to it. But once her sea dogs got out there with Walter Raleigh and the rest of them and started raiding, and Francis Drake, and they started raiding those Spanish ships coming back to the new world, to the old world, load, laden with gold, partly from the slaves, from slavery and from the slave trade, they changed it.
Hey, Professor Harvey, we got to leave it there, but I got to read this message to you. I've always loved him on your show for the past 10 years, but I have to tell you, today just made me realize that he needs to have his own show and teach us all history. Unbelievable, Professor Harvey. You don't have to hang up your history books. Maybe we can open up a window for you through the airwaves to continue to teach. It's what you are born to do. And we're gonna look into all those things, Professor Harvey. Thank you very much. I will talk to you later on today. All right, thank you. Thank everybody who made the show go. Man, we couldn't do it without you guys. Thank you, Cardi. Up next, Greg Bach and Jane Madner. Madner on air. See you guys on tomorrow.
You're listening to WBZH, Hayward's home for the Todd Allball Show.
Maggie Dawn.
Trump declares himself king, and Missouri says that it will monitor women's pregnancy. Me and my guest co-host Tom Paulswitz dive right in at 2 o'clock.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4. Matt Nair on air.
Oh, Randy Manner is here.
What can you do about this? Focus on what you can impact. Find the courage to speak up to your elected official. If you are silent, then your elected official at the local, state, or federal level will think you completely agree with whatever it is you're doing.
Silence equals acceptance.
Correct.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local civic media radio station and on the app. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
This is the Buzz of the North.
WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Economists are beginning to ponder the impact the Trump layoffs in the federal government are having. Today, the Commerce Department released weekly jobs numbers. Here's ABC's Jim Ryan.
In the week leading up to February 15th, an estimated 219,000 out-of-work Americans filed their initial claims for state unemployment benefits. That's 5,000 more than the previous week. With the White House planning to slash more than 2 million workers from federal payrolls, the next 2 weeks could see a spike in filings by people who depend on government funding or contracts.
The Agriculture Department's the latest government agency scrambling to rehire several workers fired as a part of DOGE. Some of those employees were involved in the government's response to the bird flu outbreak. Many of those working in the nation's nuclear programs also fired and then scrambled to be rehired. Hamas says it will stand by its pledge to release 6 leaving Israeli hostages this weekend. Overnight, the bodies of 4 Israelis were handed over. This is ABC News.
I'm James.